unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do over the airwaves of Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, every weekday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, re-airing, of course, from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, leading into Mad Dog and then coming immediately out on after Mad Dog every weekday over the airwaves of Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. The number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6, 888-623-3646. That's 888-623-3646. Plus, if you want to send me a voicemail message and you want that played over the airways, you can always go to SiriusXM.com/getSirius. That's SiriusXM.com/getSirius. It is a very, very special day here on the Stephen A. Smith Show on Mad Dog Sports Radio. It's not just because I got a great Monday Night Football game to touch on. It's not just because I have a couple of other poignant, riveting stories to touch on in the National Football League, in college football as well. It's not just because I'm going to be talking about my New York Knicks at some point during today's show. It's also because my little bro is coming in the house. He is the answer. The man affectionately known throughout his illustrious career as the answer, the one and only Allen Iverson, is scheduled to be in the house. Can't wait to holler at my boy. I haven't seen him in a while, but I got a lot of love for that brother. Those of you who know me, you know how much I love for this man, and I can't wait to see my brother sooner, in just a few minutes or so. So stick around listening to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. We got a few things to get into today. Number one, is it time for us to recognize the Jacksonville Jaguars as a legitimate threat in the AFC, courtesy of their 31-28 victory over the Kansas City Chiefs last night in Jacksonville, Florida? Is it time for us to look at them a little bit differently, or is it a fluke? They're 4-1 in the season. Yes, we did see Trevor Lawrence answer the call, down 28-24 with under 2 minutes left in the final minute. He falls down. He gets back. He tries to get back up, falls down a second time, gets back up. And when there's no one to throw the football to, he scampers into the end zone on a run for the game-winning touchdown for the Jacksonville Jaguars, lifting them to a 31-28 victory, okay? To go ahead touchdown. And look at his numbers for the evening. 18 to 25, 221 yards passing, a TD, an interception, ran the ball for 50 yards. Wasn't Mahomes, who went 29 for 41 for 318 yards with a pass TD and an interception, rushing for 60 yards. But Trevor Lawrence had two touchdown runs. Patrick Mahomes had one. I'm not that concerned about the Kansas City Chiefs. Maybe I should be. A lot of people are looking at them and some of the errors that they have made. They don't seem to be themselves. I get that. I still think they're a bit punch drunk from the ass kicking that they took in the Super Bowl personally. That's just my personal opinion. But I can't ignore the fact that, you know, also – something worth paying attention to is the fact that they don't have all their horses. Once they get Rashee Rice back, their outstanding wide receiver was suspended for the first six games of this season after being involved in a car accident and what have you, and you know, being punished for that by the National Football League. Do y'all understand that Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, Travis Kelce, do y'all realize that since all of them have been teammates in 2024, since 2024, they haven't played one game on the football field together? Do you realize that last year during the regular season, through the playoffs, in the Super Bowl, and for the first five games of this season, that Patrick Mahomes has not had all of his weapons available to him? We all know how great Patrick Mahomes is. We all know what he brings to the table. But you got to give him his weapons. And if the weapons ain't there, what the hell do you expect from him? So we got to look at it from that standpoint. But as it pertains to the Jacksonville Jaguars, let's just be real about something here. As we look at Kansas City's schedule and we see their loss to the Los Angeles Rams to open the season, their loss to the Philadelphia Eagles before beating the Giants and ultimately ramrod and the Baltimore Ravens, who are a shell of themselves, they now see themselves at 2-3. A game under 500, which is the worst record they've had after five games leading into a season in quite a while. We get all of that, but I'm just not worried, because I think that once they get all of their horses, on the football field together, we're going to see Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid do some special things. The question mark in all of this is the Jacksonville Jaguars. Because when you look at them, who the hell had any expectations for them? You got a first-year coach in Liam Cohen, okay? Let's keep in mind, this is the former guy, offensive coordinator in L.A., with Sean McVay. This is the guy that helped resurrect Baker Mayfield's career in Tampa before ultimately coming to Jacksonville as the head coach. And in his first year on the job, look at what he's doing. They're 4-1 on the season, tied with the Indianapolis Colts for first place. Two games ahead of the Houston Texans. Who the hell saw that coming? Nobody saw that coming. But that's what we're seeing from them right now. Trevor Lawrence's NFL rank since his 2021 rookie season among 19 quarterbacks with at least 50 starts. This was him. Winning percentage tied for worst in the National Football League. Dead last in passer rating, pass yards per attempt, completion percentage, and touchdown percentage. Excuse me. That's who we're talking about when we're talking about Trevor Lawrence, who's a legit 6'6", with a rifle of an arm, with some athleticism, with a stellar career at the University of Clemson. And sure enough, he gets into the NFL, and we had high expectations. And we thought he was on his way because we looked at the Los Angeles Chargers a few years back, having a 27-0 lead at halftime in a playoff game in Jacksonville, with Trevor Lawrence throwing about 4 or 5 interceptions in the first half, and saw him come back from that and beat the Chargers. And the next thing we know, we said, hell, what the hell's going on here? Trevor Lawrence is going to be special. Damn, we got to keep our eyes on this. And ever since then, the nosedive. He's 1-1 in his playoff career. It's the only time he ever made the playoffs in his 5-year career. And we're wondering, was it a mistake to rely on him as the number one guy? Was it a mistake to pay him $55 million? But that's not what we're seeing. And we're seeing ETN running the football. We're seeing a cat like Thomas catching a dime from Trevor Lawrence last night. But we also saw a slew of mistakes, as we have seen from Trevor Lawrence this year. So it's up and down, up and down, up and down. Can you trust him? The answer may be no. But you can look at him and you can have aspirations because you know he has the athleticism and the ability to get it done. And so when you look at it from that standpoint, I got to say give the man props. And now we got to look at the AFC, and we got to look at the AFC totally differently. Even though Buffalo lost to New England, you still see them having supremacy within the AFC East. But in the same breath, New England's coming, because I'm looking at Drake May and I'm saying, damn, the brother can play. He ain't no Tom Brady, but who's to say he won't be? Because as you look at Drake May, I mean, the guy is impressive and clearly a young leader that the players trust and are willing to rely upon. You got that going on in the AFC East, so Buffalo might have some competition. It damn sure ain't with the New York Jets and the Miami Dolphins. We get that part. But the New England Patriots and the Buffalo Bills, New England beating them Sunday has made things very, very interesting in the AFC East. In the AFC North, the Baltimore Ravens look horrible. Their defense sucks. But in the same breath, they've got a plethora of injuries. Whether it's about a BK, whether it's Hamilton or whomever, they got a slew of injuries. So you're looking at them and you're saying, damn, what's going to go on with them? They're 1-4, but still, it's not like they can't catch the Pittsburgh Steelers, because when you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, there's at least 2 or 3 games they'll just give away. And we got to remember that over the last couple of seasons, the Steelers went the last 4 or 5 weeks without winning a damn game. And so if you look at it from that standpoint, this season is far from over in the AFC North, especially once Lamar Jackson gets back. You got to look at that. Then you got to wonder about Cleveland, who you can't count out, because if they get anything offensively, you know their defense is all world. We probably gave up on Cincinnati because without Joe Burrow, they just can't seem to do anything right. And that ain't Jamar Chase's fault, by the way, because that brother can ball. It ain't him. It's about Browning not being the answer. It's about their defense being trash. And it's about them that's not being good enough. And it's about Zach Taylor probably be looking for a job next season. So you got that going on in the AFC North. In the AFC South, it was supposed to be about Houston. But had they not run in to Baltimore, who the hell knows what their record would be? Because they looked like they could do nothing offensively. And we once fantasized about C.J. Stroud being the dude in the AFC South. But lo and behold, look at Trevor Lawrence and look at Daniel Jones. And by the way, just in case you missed it, Daniel Jones is a league MVP candidate. Daniel Jones, the former New York Giant, who couldn't help but trip over himself. That was what he was famous for. On a breakaway run in Philadelphia when he was running for a touchdown, nobody within 20 yards of him tripped over his own damn feet and couldn't get into the end zone. That Daniel Jones. That former number 6 overall pick that couldn't get right in his career suddenly is in Indy, completing better than 71% of his passes, only throwing 2 interceptions on the season. The Indianapolis Colts are atop the AFC South, tied with the Jacksonville Jaguars, courtesy of Trevor Lawrence, Travis Hunter, Brian Thomas, ETN out of the backfield, and a defense that ain't trash. I'm just looking at it right now. It's getting very interesting. And then in the AFC West, because Kansas City is struggling, we got a situation right now. We're looking at them, taking them into consideration. I'm saying to myself, it was supposed to be the Chargers a couple of weeks ago. But now, they've come crashing down to earth with a couple of losses. I mean, not only did they lose to the New York Giants with a rookie quarterback, Jackson Dart, in the house, even after losing Neighbors, your elite wide receiver, but then they turn around and they go up against Washington and they get spanked on their own home turf. So you can't look at them now, but you got to look at the Denver Broncos. Because how much longer are we going to ignore Bo Nix and what he brings to the table for Sean Payton? How much longer are we going to ignore the fact that Sean Payton is one of the better coaches in the National Football League? How much longer are we going to ignore the fact that the Denver Broncos are no joke defensively? They come to play and they come to make some noise. I'm looking at all of this and I'm saying to myself, yo, this is not something that we can ignore. I'm looking at all of that and I'm saying to myself, it's getting very interesting. It's getting very interesting. Triple Eight Mad Dog 6 is the number called. It's 888-623-3646. Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. The Cincinnati Bengals have just traded with the Cleveland Browns to acquire Joe Flacco. That's what just happened. Breaking news, the Cleveland Browns have just traded Joe Flacco to the Cincinnati Bengals. Ladies and gentlemen, that has Dillon Gabriel, who didn't play that badly this past weekend, as your QB1 with, logically speaking, Shedeur Sanders moving up as your QB2. It's getting very interesting. Now, I don't know if y'all know the news, if y'all saw the news. Damian Lillard, Dame Dollar, formerly of the Portland Trail Blazers, then went to the Milwaukee Bucks, tore his Achilles, was out. Got injured in the play. It's going to be out this entire year, but is back in Portland where he belongs, where he loves to be, loves it out there. Damian Lillard's from Oakland, California, and that makes him a Raiders fan. And he was imploring the Raiders to trade for Shedeur Sanders. I got to admit, after watching Geno Smith, I don't blame him one bit. The man's got 9 interceptions on the year. The Las Vegas Raiders look horrible. Horrible. Pete Carroll, the oldest coach in the National Football League at age 74, he hasn't turned them around. Tom Brady, a minority owner in the team, wearing headphones in the booth, he hasn't turned them around. They look bad. And I can't blame Damian Lillard for suggesting that. I don't know how good Shedeur Sanders is going to be. I know I believe in the brother. I know I wouldn't mind seeing him in Las Vegas. I know I wouldn't mind seeing him in the bright lights on center stage because he's got that kind of swag with him. I definitely feel that way, but I'm here to tell you right now, when I look at it and I look at him, I got to tell you something. I don't mind that suggestion at all. But just to reiterate, Joe Flacco for the Cleveland Browns has just been traded to the Cincinnati Bengals because obviously they've lost faith in Jake Browning, who was about to have, he looked like he was just having a meltdown on the sidelines. You know, an offensive line that couldn't protect him. He couldn't compose himself. He clearly was making mistakes. You got Jamar Chase and T. Higgins out there. You got to have a quarterback that can throw him the damn football, period. End of discussion. So I don't mind this trade at all. But how much that's going to do for the Cincinnati Bengals remain to be seen. At least they're trying something. I give them credit where credit is due. But maybe, what are you going to do if you are Zach Taylor? Are you going to put Joe Flacco in the shotgun position, putting him out there as target practice for opposing defensive linemen and linebackers coming at his way, with that offensive line. I don't know how wise that is. We shall see. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. One other thing I wanted to get to before we went to break, because I thought this was important to bring up. I don't know if y'all saw DeMarcado for the Arizona Cardinals running into the end zone, a breakaway 72-yard touchdown run, but let go of the football before he crossed the goal line. And then you saw him on the sideline and the coach, Gannon, got in his face, obviously was getting in his ass over making such a horrible self-inflicted error. And then after he did that, he hit him in the chest or the shoulders. Well, Gannon apologized to DeMarcado for the sideline spat, talking to the media, saying that it was something that he regretted. Listen to it for yourself. Here's Coach Gannon, Jonathan Gannon, for the Arizona Cardinals, speaking about DeMarcado's getting his DeMarcado's face after the fumble.
I woke up this morning and didn't feel great about it, honestly. And so in the team meeting, I addressed it. I apologized to Omari, apologized to the team. And I just told him I kind of let the moment of what happened get the better of me there.
Props to Coach Gannon for apologizing. All of us make mistakes. None of us are flawless. He should not have done what he's done. It's never an excuse to put your hands on someone, especially a grown man, which DeMarcado is. And if you were not the head coach, would you have done that? If you were just on the football team, would you have done that? You have dared put your hands on them. You did it because you were in an authoritative position. And obviously it was something you felt you could get away with. It does leave the question, are you really upset and regretful for what you did or that you got caught? What I would say is I would take Jonathan Gannon, the coach, at his word, accept the apology and move forward. Having said that, while acknowledging that, you know, you take him at his word, you want to make sure you don't absolve him from making such an egregious error and jumping in his ass like that. Like I believe that DeMarcado, he should have had his ass jumped on, but not physically. Don't touch him. Because what if it went a different way? What if he decided to just react and retaliate from you putting your hands on him? He would have been off the team, but it would have been perfectly within his right to do something in retaliation if you felt compelled to put your hands on him. With that being said, I want to reiterate what I said on television earlier this morning about Coach Gannon or anybody else for that matter. Players ain't the only ones with pressure. Gannon's under immense pressure as well. This is his third season in Arizona. He's had a losing record and missed the playoffs the previous 2 years. Three games they should have easily won this year. And I shouldn't say easily, but they could have easily won. And they've lost it on last second field goals and stuff like that. He's definitely feeling the pressure. And people's jobs on the line. Their careers on the line. Their ability to pay their mortgages are on the line. So when you have stuff like that, it's not, even though it's not a good thing and you don't condone it in any way, it's certainly understandable that emotions run high and a lack of control is displayed from time to time. It still doesn't absolve him from what he did. And I give the coach credit for apologizing to DeMarcado, to the team, and saying so publicly in front of the microphone. Because I can't stand when people do stuff publicly, but then they want to apologize in private. If you're messed up in public, acknowledge it in public. Apologize in public. Do that, and it's all good. And I think Coach Gannon did that. So I think we can move on from there. He recognizes it wasn't a wise thing to do, and he apologized, and we should all accept the apology and move forward because we can understand that was an egregious error by DeMarcado. Amari DeMarcado, I mean, I'm sick and tired of these cats so starving for adulation, notoriety, and et cetera, that, you know, what the goal is to cross the goal line. Hold on to the damn ball. Hold on to the damn ball. You don't make that kind of mistake. And it's happened on several occasions this season alone. To me personally, if I was Coach Gannon, that brother would still be running suicides. I'd make sure he threw up. And then after he threw up, I'd have him running more suicides. You understand? I'd give him the requisite water breaks and stuff like that, but he'd be tortured. You're going to make sure you got to hold the football too. You understand? I don't give a damn if you're going to the toilet, if you're doing sit-ups. I don't give a damn what you're doing. You're going to hold on to that damn football for as long as you possibly can. You're going to know better than making that mistake again. That would be me. Same thing would have applied to Mitchell for the Indianapolis Colts, how he messed up the week before. That's all I got to say about that. 888 Mad Dog 6 is always the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Remember, you could also send in your voicemail messages at SiriusXM.com/getserious. That's SiriusXM.com/getserious to leave your voicemail messages as well. There's a lot to get into, some baseball stuff to get into. The Dodgers are rolling. Got to get into it with them. Definitely talk about some things with that. What the hell is going on with the Phillies? Of course, I'm going to talk to my man, The Answer, the one and only, Allen Iverson. He's coming up on the show as well, along with another special guest as well. So we'll be talking about that in hour number two as well. Allen Iverson before that, of course. And I'm going to get into this kid, Kyren Lacy, formerly of LSU, killed himself after he was arrested, involving the car accident, what have you. I'll explain that story because my colleague at ESPN, Ryan Clark, was incredibly passionate in what he had to say about that young man. And he would know because he knew the young man personally. Because obviously Ryan Clark played at LSU and so did Kyren Lacy. I'll touch on all of that and then some as the show progresses today. You are listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with your calls, your voicemails, and more. In a minute.